You're listening to the J&J Innovation Podcast, where each episode is a story of people positively impacting human health through innovation.
Welcome to the first episode of our month-long series, highlighting scientists and leaders from Africa. These leaders won the Champions in Science Africa Storytelling Challenge and were awarded at the American Association for the Advancement of Science in Washington, D.C. this February. We start the series with Dr. Asghar Hilonga, who joins the JJI podcast from Tanzania. He is a chemical engineer and a senior lecturer at the Nelson Mandela African Institution of Science and Technology. Asghar is also the inventor of Nanofilter, a low-cost water filter that cleans contaminated water in rural areas of Tanzania. He hopes to extend the water filter's reach to impact millions of lives in other regions. Asghar is here today to share his story. Dr. Hilonga, welcome to the J&J Innovation Podcast, and congratulations on your win.
Thank you. Asante sana.
If you wouldn't mind, could you tell us your story?
Thank you very much. My story is long, but for this sake, I will make it very short. I grew up in a rural village in Tanzania. The village is called Gongali, and this name is significant because finally I called my name Gongali Modo, which means an example from Gongali village. So, and I hope my story will be inspiring many young people around the world that it is possible to grow from a very poor background and to make an impact that will be appreciated globally. So my background is really challenging. These photos and the videos of people suffering in Africa with waterborne diseases and hunger and those challenges, that was my typical life. So to me, that's not a story. It's not something that is just for fun or for media or for promotion or whatever. It is a real life. But I was not living a gloomy life, a very sad little boy. No, I was very happy, vibrant, and I was looking at a brighter future. I believed in God, and I put all my energy to study. I'm so grateful to my parents who were so sacrificial, though they did not attend school, even first class they did not attend, but they were so committed to my education. So I put all I can to study very well, and I was so committed in study, and finally I got an opportunity to go for a PhD in South Korea. I did my PhD in chemical engineering, particularly in nanochemistry and nanoscience. And after my PhD, I went back to Tanzania as a senior lecturer at the university. It's called Nelson Mandela. And that was my opportunity now to utilize my education, my PhD, to give back to my community. That's a question that's haunting me all the time, that what does my PhD mean to my community? And I'm so grateful to the partners who assisted me toward fulfilling my goals, like the Royal Academy of Engineering. They empowered me for this, the Royal Academy of Engineering of UK, the British, through their programs called Pitchat Palace, Africa Prize for Engineering Innovation, and I became the first winner. They gave me an award of £25,000, and with that, I established my own company and called the name Gongali Modo. And also, they gave me a connection, which is very useful, that is through Pitchat Palace. This is Prince Andrew's program, Prince Andrew, the son of Queen Elizabeth. So that's a very reputable connection for me. It's very important. And I won other 7 awards now through my invention, the nanofilter invention. And I have a story to tell, therefore, that it is possible to raise from a very poor background in a remote rural Africa and make an impact that will be appreciated in London, in Washington, that's where I am here now, and elsewhere. And I hope my story will inspire many young people around the world.
Fabulous. We are so excited to have you here. So you've been fairly global in your path and your career journey. You've done your PhD in South Korea. You're coming from Tanzania. You've been in the UK. Tell me how your work abroad has influenced your work.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that there are many people who have invested in me to this level. I appreciate them. And I will be biased to mention few of them, but there are so many. I don't know what I should do. Maybe just refer to my website where I put reference to all people who have supported me, the organizations, there are so many. And I thank God that at last I can fulfill my mission of giving back to my community, because I believe in this, in the Bible. There is a verse in Luke chapter 12, verse 48 that says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." So to me, much is given. There is a huge investment. People who have given a lot, from my parents, my supervisors, the sponsors, and now Johnson & Johnson. To all this, I'm indebted to give back to my community. So I have a debt to pay. I want to give back to my community in Africa.
So let's talk about your invention, Nanofilter. You talk often about feeling this strong sense of responsibility to give back to your community and use your education and your experience for the greater good. Tell me about how you decided to tackle the problem of potable water. How did Nanofilter come to existence?
Thank you for asking that question. So it's a long journey again. So I decided to solve this problem for good. And also in our area in Arusha, there is a problem of fluoride. You see people with brown teeth. Girls cannot smile. Ladies cannot smile easily or freely because their teeth are brown. You see, that's so humiliating, isn't it? That's not their mistake. If the level of fluoride is high in water, that's the result. So it affects teeth. I said, let me solve this problem. Let me solve this problem because it's possible to remove fluoride in water, microbial contaminants and other contaminants in water. So I started developing the filter that could solve this problem. I look at the filters that are in the market and realize that there is a gap, a very serious gap. Many filters could not solve the problem comprehensively. Most of them are imported mainly from India, from China. And if something is broken, you can't fix it. The prices are high and it's very challenging. So I said, let me develop something locally, something that can be customized to solve the problem of each location, because developing a filter is not like a silver bullet solution. Because the water problems, the contaminations vary from place to place. So you cannot just import something that is designed without considering the need. So I'm a local engineer, I know my community, I know my geography, environment. So I design now the filter based on the situation of the contamination in water in that specific area. That is how Nanofilter came up. So this is how it works now, that I test the water first, and when I realize that maybe here it has got fluoride and no other problem, then I develop materials that remove fluoride. These materials are, some of them are patented. I cannot express everything. I have patent and trademark for the filter. But we tune the materials depending on the needs in a specific place. In some places, there is heavy metal. This says arsenic or copper, mainly in the mining areas. Like if you go around Lake Victoria, there is a lot of mining activities there. So I develop nanomaterials that can target those specific contaminants in that area. So if you look at the filter, it has got different sections. And in each section, I put a specific material that can target specific contaminants that are found in that water in that area. So it's customized.
How are you getting your product to members of your community?
So the journey itself is long of establishing the filter. So when the Royal Academy of Engineering made a call in 2014 for the innovations in Africa, I was having just a prototype, which I developed by my own money. So I used my own money to develop the first prototype. And with that, I applied for the program. It's called Africa Prize for Engineering Innovation. I was shortlisted and I was given an opportunity to compete for the Africa Prize for Engineering Innovation. And after that, I won £25,000. And with that, I established my company. And the business was very good. Later, I got a support from UK, again, from DFID. This is through Human Development Innovation Fund in Tanzania. They gave me a grant of £350,000. And with this, I was able to employ many people and scale up my innovation. And up to now, we are impacting about 200,000 people with clean and safe water. And I have employed 75 people who are working for our company. But I started by myself. I finished the foundation now, and with the Johnson & Johnson Award, I am making a first floor now of this Inspiration and Empowerment Center. So I'm grateful. Something good is happening. Many people are empowered, have created jobs, and we are solving a serious challenge of waterborne diseases in Africa. But most importantly, it is an inspiration to young people that it is possible to solve our own problems in our own way.
So you've also talked often about challenging young Africans to use their talents domestically rather than to seek opportunities abroad. Tell me a little bit about that. What sort of advice would you give to young scientists in Africa who seek to become someone like yourself?
I just encourage them that it is possible. Yes, we can. It is possible. Because the opportunities in Africa are vast. Unfortunately, mostly we look at politics and the challenges that are there. I just say, don't look at the darkness. Don't cast the darkness. Just light the candle. That's the solution. So the problems which are there should trigger us to come up with solutions, because the problems are real. Therefore, the solutions must also be real. And also there are many partners who are willing to work with us, like these companies like Johnson & Johnson. There are many. And this is not like donations. The pattern has changed now, that it is a collaboration, it's partnership, it's network, because there is something also that Africans can contribute to the world. For example, the filter I have developed, this is not only solving problems in Africa. It can solve it in anywhere. By the way, I have many requests now from India and Pakistan and in many other places. It is just a matter of time to move to those countries. And therefore, I'm determined to be a millionaire. Millionaire not only in terms of money, but millionaire of impacting millions of lives.
There's a big difference between scientific publication and scientific storytelling. So let's talk a little bit about, why do you think it's so important for scientists like yourself to tell their stories, and how does that change science?
Thank you for this important question. If it was just for my publication, I think even the little boys and girls that I want to inspire cannot read those papers in nanotechnology. I have 43 papers that they cannot read even one of them. It's just complicated for them. But if I boil down into the application of this knowledge, the science knowledge, and I tell it in a way that they can understand, it is so inspiring in such a way that they will come up with their own kind of innovations. So this is needed. It should be simplified. The story of science should be like the story of any kind of story. But by the way, Africans are good in telling stories. So I think this should be encouraged more now on telling our story. It's not like a scientific investigation, which is important. The papers are there. When these young people grow up, they will read those papers. But first they want to see these role models, people who have published these papers. Who are they? What are they doing? How far have they gone? And what are the obstacles on their way, and how they overcame? All this is is inspiring to the coming generation. And yes, it is possible for the future generation of Africans to solve their problems, to compete with the world, just like any other body. I think color is not a big issue. And I'm glad that I grew up in Tanzania without any discrimination of the issues of colors and what. Unfortunately, I did not look even at your color, whatever color you look like. I don't care about that, because what matters more is our brains, is our hearts, the is our humanity. So I want to inspire many people to look at that, the human dignity, to solve our global challenges. You know, when America is affected, everywhere is affected. When Africa is affected, Asia is affected. The global warming, the carbon issues, it's shared. So because the problems are shared globally, then the solution should be shared. And Africa has something to contribute on this.
This has been so incredible to speak with you today, Dr. Halanga. It's an inspiration, and many congratulations on your award. Thank you so much for joining us. With that, we bid you adieu and really look forward to what you have next.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
The J&J Innovation Podcast is brought to you by Johnson & Johnson Innovation. For more information, you can find us at jnjinnovation.com.
Special thanks to Ryan Flynn, who was instrumental in making all of this happen, and Mike Riley, our executive sponsor.